Good morning, everybody, on a beautiful Tuesday morning with the bells of Wall Street. It is time for our weekly feature featuring Manny Frangidakis and Stamati Sastra. Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management presenting us at 11 o'clock each and every Tuesday market update. Gentlemen, good morning. Que calimera, sas. Beautiful day.
Calimera. How's everybody doing today?
Day great, like today? Great. Perfect. It's going to be 65 degrees. I wish I was out in the golf course.
Me too. That makes two of us.
Good morning, Manny. Good morning, Stamati.
So, Manny, the local news is about the General Electric. I mean, again, you look at the news, it makes sense. You say why they didn't do it faster, but I guess those things, those big ships to steer.
Yeah, but you know what? That was kind of projected when, you know, the calamity of GE occurred and they went back to cutting towards their core main business. So it's not surprising to hear that they're going to split it up into three companies and allow them to each focus on, you know, the three areas that they're going into, which is, you know, healthcare, aviation, and electric.
And how does this work if you have a GE stock? How will that work? You get three different symbols or something like that?
Yeah, you're going to get split up into it. And then obviously for people that are purchasing going forward, you'll have three different tickers that are, you know, associated to the core three businesses of GE.
Yeah. Well, it's I think that's a great case study. I mean, it was 20 years ago. It was probably the best business case, Welch and Hall's
right.
Management school was written about that. But after that, I guess it was
a story to be told about, you know, taking on too much leverage and probably getting into too many industries instead of aligning the company with what your core strengths are.
Yeah,
I think it's a story of stay in your lane.
And you look, I mean, you look just for a valuation point of view, you know, GE could, you know, and you look at who is the trillion-dollar companies, you look at Microsoft and Apple versus GE, you see the manufacturing versus the software and the iPhones and computers, and you see where the growth has been.
Yeah, but I also would make the argument that if you look 10 years down the road, I would say that healthcare might have a better opportunity to outperform than technology does.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Healthcare is the number one concern. We have finally the infrastructure bill. It was a little bit of, you know, companies again. You know, every time we have a bill signed, you get the caterpillars of the world going up and all that. Anything interesting there, or just?
No, I still think we're in wait and see mode. Just because you pass it through the House does not mean that it's actually getting put into practice. So I think that, yeah, it's a great first step, but I still don't see them getting it done by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be challenging. I mean, U.S. and especially when you look at what happened last week with the elections that occurred, and how momentum has switched, and now with the idea of potentially the Republicans being able to, or the GOP being able to take the House and the Senate potentially in the midterms next year, I think that now you have more people stepping back and saying, we're going to wait and see. There might not be an incentive to get this done right now. We might have, you know, if I'm the GOP, I'm saying we're going to have a better chance to do things our way in a year and a half.
Yeah. You think those infrastructure companies, you think they're pretty much on their high right now?
Look, I think that overall, like a company like Caterpillar hasn't really performed well in quite some time. So when you look at that, yeah, could there be an opportunity? Potentially, but they're so international that does that really move the needle from them on a domestic agenda? Potentially. But I do think that when you look over, you know, the next 10 years, infrastructure will be used both here and internationally just due to the massive need that is required at this point in time. And then when you throw in the green deals and going to net zero, I'm sure there's going to be an infrastructure component to that.
Yeah, and that was my next topic question. It was about the green deals. A lot of talk with the Glasgow 2-week summit. A lot of companies, anything from the solar to the electric to the anything with a green in front of it, people throwing money at it.
Yeah, but I mean, even with the Glasgow Accord, and even if every single company or every single country actually holds their promise and puts it into fruition, you're still talking a 1.8 degree Celsius move in terms of climate change. Well, they already came out and said that the world is going to be devastated if we're not lower than 1.5%. So, yeah. And that's with everyone holding their promise. And then when you look at today's going to be a big number for oil and what's going to happen with the Biden administration and potentially tapping into strategic reserves. Now, we have about 600 million barrels of strategic reserves. That would last about 6 days on the global scale, just so people understand how much little influence that potentially has. But now we're actually pushing OPEC and other countries to continue to push into the ground and pull out, you know, oil out of the ground and take further into, you know, climate change and go more into CO2. And this is at a time where airlines really aren't flying. International travel just picked up. We're going to need a lot more oil. So even with the Green New Deal, I find it really hard to believe that these countries are actually going to stand by their word, nor are we going to be able to make a transition quick enough that allows our economy to stay at the same speed that we're currently at, which, again, is not even a great speed at this point in time.
Just unemployment numbers last week, kind of interesting, going back up. Still, we have to point out 5 million people less than from the pandemic start have found a job.
So as of right now, it's been the greatest jobs recovery in history. This next 5 million is going to be extremely difficult. And I think that when I look at how our mandates work, I think inflation at this point in time is much more important or a harder hurdle to get over versus getting to back to maximum full employment. The fact that we've gotten this quickly, this many jobs back this quickly is a milestone. I think that next 5 million is going to be a very tough hurdle to hit. And if you're looking between choosing whether you combat inflation or continue to create monetary easing to be able to get back to full employment, I don't know if you're even able to get there. It took them 10 years of monetary policy and QE to be able to get to that historic unemployment rate. Are they willing to do that again? I don't know.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of talk about the discontent of the labor market. So out of the 5 million, who knows, it's not clear what the number is, but you do have 20-30% of people that they were discontent and they would prefer to stay home for one reason or another. You can look at their personal situations and the kids. A lot of kids were out of school, so you have always that it's it makes it more difficult. You put real stories on the data, it makes more difficult to smooth it out.
Absolutely. It's going to be a very tricky situation to navigate, and that's with not even bringing politics into the equation. I mean, you currently have the Fed chair that his term is only up until February 2nd. The White House has already interviewed Lael Brainard. There's talk about 3 seats being open coming next year. The whole environment could change, and now it's what's going to be the more important mandate. It's going to be a very tricky situation over the next coming months, and when you look at the calendar, the fact that earnings season is ending. Now, great, it's been a stellar earnings season. Obviously, you've seen stocks up 9 days in a row, hitting all-time highs. We're close to breaking the record of most all-time highs in any given year in the S&P 500, which was hit in 1995 at 71 new highs. We're currently, I believe, at like 57 or 58 new highs of the year. It's going to be a tricky situation because you don't know where your next leg up or momentum is for the stock market with earnings season, you know, ending. And now we're probably going into taper. And one thing that I do want people to be aware of, so last week we got the acknowledgement of taper. If you look at history, this has happened every single time. 2 weeks after the announcement, the market rallies, and then literally two weeks to the day of when that announcement makes, the market starts to probably crack. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens a week from Thursday.
Very good, very good. And my last question is about the Patriots. Are they all going to see Belichick and Tom Brady Super Bowl?
Look, I think this team is in really good shape. I think we still need to, you know, figure out our offensive line and get them to play a little bit better. But I think we're probably one of the top running teams in the league. The fact that we're 4-0 on the road is a very challenging thing to do. And I think this defense is coming together. This reminds me of that first Patriots Super Bowl team where you don't win on offense, but you win on defense and you win by making smart plays. I think this team is very capable of that. I think the coaching staff can do a little bit better of a job of establishing discipline and removing some of these foolish penalties that we've had that has cost us a little bit. But when you look at our losses, I mean, we're only a few games away from being, you know, call it 6-2 because of how we finished those games off. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at Miami and you look at Tampa and you even look at Dallas, I mean, those are games that were very winnable. So I think this team, it's very easy to be very bullish on this team. And when you look at the AFC, it looks like they're starting to crack. I mean, Pittsburgh had a win yesterday, but it was kind of ugly. They let Chicago come all the way back when they should have never even had a chance. When you look at Kansas City, they have their weaknesses. You look at Cleveland, it looks like they're potentially falling apart. Buffalo had a horrible loss last week to Jacksonville. When you look at the AFC, it's kind of lining up perfectly for them.
Seems to be. One last question on the Patriots. Should they go after Beckham Jr., or is his gas all out of his tank? Should they give it a shot?
No, dude. He is unbelievable. That's why he left. It's a funny thing. His father, Odell Beckham Sr., posted an entire video that was like 20 minutes showing how wide open he's been on so many plays that either Baker Mayfield just wasn't even looking at his direction or threw the worst ball possible. This guy still got everything left in the tank. He still probably has one of the top talents in terms of the receiver pool across the league. It's a question of, that's not the Patriots' way. We did it one time with Randy Moss, but it was because we got him at a very cheap discount. I don't see them going after him. He's already expressed interest that he would like to go to Seattle or one of these other teams. But look, I hope they do try to at least make a push, because when you look at our offense, I mean, he would really set the stage for us and really extend, you know, the off-the-top defensive routes, mm-hmm. opening up the downfield for your tight end that you paid a lot of money for. And then you've got Kendrick Bourne coming across the middle. That's a very elite offense when you pair it with our run game.
Attaboy, Manny. Everything about finance and football, Manny Frangidakis. I got to tell you, Odell Beckham's catch is the greatest in NFL history. Any sports fan will never, ever forget that impossible feat. But
rare talent. He's had an unfortunate experience being on some crappy teams. But mm-hmm. once he gets on a real team, he's going to be a Super Bowl contender.
There you go. Gentlemen, have a terrific afternoon. Beautiful day. We'll regroup 1 week from today, each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management, with a market update. Bye-bye, guys. Have a great day. Thanks. Yes.
Take care.
Bye-bye.